produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening. Good afternoon, good morning, all over the world. I am so blessed, as always, to be on the show this morning with you guys. I pray that everyone has woke up with a smile on their face and with love in your heart. This is Regina Keenan, Lady Lioness. It's not that easy. I'm coming to you today, guys. I'm going to talk about my book, From Employee to Entrepreneur. I did this book. It's a collaboration book with other ladies that are also entrepreneurs. It's just important to decide to become your own boss and not just depend on a job, a 9-to-5. It's not securing people's future anymore. It's just not giving them what they need to survive off of. You can work 9-to-5, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever it is. At the end of the day, what do you have left? You have your Social Security, your unemployment if you qualify, you have your pension maybe, and you have your 401k. The way the government is nowadays, they're not even giving you that. It's hard to even get those things. You put all this time in, all your life working for somebody else, and when it's time to retire, you have nothing. Basically, I no longer work. I work from home. I work for myself. I do also multi-level marketing. What that is I do direct sales. I work with other companies. I build a team. I teach them how to build their business, how to become entrepreneurs, how to take care of themselves and not have to depend on someone else, not have to depend on a job, because your job can close any day. You never know when your job might go out of business. You never know when the government is going to shut down. It's happened before. See how many people were affected by it. It was horrible. You know, when people that have worked all their lives, they can't handle that. It's a lot. When you work all your life and the government says, I'm shutting down. And everybody goes in a panic and don't know what to do. Don't know how their family is going to eat. They don't know how they're going to survive. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. And it's terrible. It is terrible that we live in a society that will just shut everything down and you no longer get paid. That is the reason why I work for myself. I build my businesses. I have multiple businesses I do. And I'm also a fashion designer. I am right now starting a clothing line. This is something new. I'm very excited about it. But I teach young girls and I minister to young girls and women. And I teach them how to become an entrepreneur. How to have their own business, how to build it, from the ground up, something that you can call your own, not something that you can say, well, I'm working for somebody else. I'm building somebody else's future. I am securing somebody else's kids' future. I'm sending somebody else's kids to college. I don't want to do that. No, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to have to secure somebody else's family. It's time to secure your own family. It's time for us to become our own boss. I mean, right now, women are taking over in the world. It's a beautiful thing because we've been put on the back burner for so long. It's time for us to step up. So that is what I'm doing. And in this book, we have women that talk about how they started. Some women are still working and they have their other businesses that they run on the side after they, you know, have done their 9-to-5 job. Me, on the other hand, it's just I'm an entrepreneur all day, all night. I run my business. I have certain hours. Being an entrepreneur, I will say that you do have to put in more time because it's your business. You don't have someone working for you. This is something that you're working for yourself. You're securing your future. You're securing your future, your family's future. You want your kids to have something to fall back on. God forbid something happened to you. You're unable to work anymore or run your business anymore. Or God forbid that God calls you home. You don't want your kids to have to carry the burden of, how am I going to bury my parent? How am I going to survive now? We have to start teaching our kids early. My grandson is 4. My granddaughter is 10. I teach both of them how to have their own business. And now that's what they want to do. When I ask them, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm going to have my own business. My granddaughter wants to do clothes like me. But she also wants to do other things. Excuse me. My grandson, I'm not sure what it is he wants to do yet. He's not sure, but he did say he wants to have his own business. And he made out his little business cards. I love it. I mean, if you teach them early, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will never depart from it. So if you train up your kids early, they are going to, it's going to lock in their brain, and they're always going to remember, my mom or my dad or both my parents taught me how to secure my future, how to run my own business, how not to work for someone else all my life, because you don't have to anymore. If you want to secure your future and have something to leave a legacy for your family, for your children, you have to build your own business. Become your own boss. Become the CEO of your own company. Because when you're working on a job, you're never, ever going to see the CEO of that company. You're never going to get to the top. You do good to even get to the HR office. You never see who runs that business. That's just how it is. You know, they talk about how multi-level marketing, it's a pyramid scheme. It's not a pyramid scheme. Your job is a pyramid scheme. If you look at the triangle and you put all the levels that they have in a job, you have what, your supervisor, you got your manager, you got your president, vice president, and all of that. Chain of command, basically. It's a pyramid scheme. But when you run your own business, you're the CEO of that company, and it's okay to have work in direct sales. You are over your business. You may not be the owner of the company that you work for, but you're building your business because you're independent. And that's what we got to do. We have to start building our own businesses because it's not a game anymore. It's not a game. In my book, From Employee to Entrepreneur, it's called The Journey of Empowerment. It says, what advice would you give to someone who is thinking of transitioning into becoming an entrepreneur. And I said, you have to go in with the right mindset. And that's so true. You have to have the right mindset. You have to really set goals. Because if you don't, it's just not going to work. And it's not. You have to set goals. You can set daily goals. You can set weekly goals. You can set monthly goals. And you can set yearly goals. That helps you to stay on track. Once you achieve that goal, you check it off. And you go on to the next one. Once you achieve that one, you check that off. And you just keep going. You have to know exactly what, number one, what you have the passion to do. What is your passion? What is it that you're passionate about doing? And what gives you or drives you to do it? Because it's kind of hard to succeed if you don't know where it is that you're trying to go. That's why you have to set your goals. That's why you have to read your affirmations. You should have affirmations that you read every day. When you get up in the morning, you read those affirmations. You write your goals down. You write your goals down the night before you go to bed. This is what it is that I'm going to do tomorrow. So you will know where it is that you're trying to go. What it is that you're trying to do. Now, I'll give you three negatives of being an entrepreneur. When you are trying to purchase something, or you're trying to get credit, you're trying to go purchase a car or a home, the things they ask you for, like pay stubs, as an entrepreneur, we don't have pay stubs. That's a downfall for us. But, of course, you have your bank statements. You can show them your bank statements. You have your, I think it's your W-9 form where you fill out at the end of the year when you're doing your taxes. Now, those things, we can't provide those. You can only provide those things on a regular job, pay stubs. I mean, I know I had went to a job interview one time and they asked me for my pay stubs, my job references. I said, I don't have those because I work for myself. I'm a business owner. Well, we need those. So you're telling me just because I'm a business owner and I don't have pay stubs for you, you can't hire me? I thought that was very discriminative, but I was like, okay, no problem. I left there. I said, that's not going to discourage me to continue working for myself. I don't care. I'm still going to build my business. I'm still going to have the mindset to build my own business, continue to stay in the entrepreneur mindset. I'm not going to let not having what they want you to have when you go for a job interview or when you go to buy a house or you go to buy a car. You know, I went to buy a car one time and they was like, oh, we need your pay stubs. I said, I don't have them. I work for myself. Well, how can you prove the money that you make? So I had to pull up my Cash App. I had to pull up my PayPal. Those are the ways, the things that I had to give them to show that I am a business owner. It's unfortunate that, you know, they look at us like they don't take it serious. People don't take having your own business serious. They say that's not a job. No, it's not a job. It's a business. It's a business that I run. And we get looked down on as business owners, as entrepreneurs. Even though we shouldn't. And at the end of the day, you know, it's like if you're making a certain amount of money as a business owner, you can go in a car dealership and just hand them cash. Or you can go in and you can write out a check and give them half of what it is that they're acquiring for that car. That's not something that they're going to get from a person that works on a regular job. You know, we have more of an advantage making more money because when you have your own business, you're an entrepreneur, you set the goals, you set the standards of how much money you want to make every week, every day, or yearly. You have to work hard to get there. And that's why I say you got to have goals. You got to set goals. What level do you want to reach? Where do you want to be at 5 years from now or 10 years from now in your business or in your company? These are very important things that you need to focus on when you become an entrepreneur. And we all don't, like I said before, we don't all, when you become an entrepreneur, you don't have to leave your job. I would not tell anybody to leave your job to start a business. Stay on your job till you save up the money to start your business. Don't just quit cold turkey unless you're already bringing in, you know, the income beforehand. You know, you have to take baby steps. I'm just going to be honest with you. You do have to take baby steps. But I came out of my job only because of disability. You know, I have a back injury. I can't work a regular job anymore, which God showed me years ago that that's not what he had for me anyway. And it took a while for me to really hear his voice and realize that that's not what he had for me. And then he started putting me in these jobs where I was unhappy. I was so unhappy. The jobs were, I was head of HR. I loved the job, but I didn't like the atmosphere. I didn't like how the leadership was running the business. And I'm like, Lord, why would you send me here? What are you doing? Why do you have me here? You know what he told me? He said, for exposure. You're there to expose them for the dirt that they're doing. And when I say that was so true, because I started seeing things and hearing things that I was so unhappy with. I really was. And I had to go to work every day. I had to open up the office. I would have to pray and anoint the doorknobs before I go into the building. And me being the first one there, I had to go in, anoint everything, anoint everybody's office. It was crazy. And I'm like, Lord, why would you do this to me? But I was still faithful. And that's why I said, you got to stay faithful. Just stay on your job until it's time for you to go. But when he gave me that okay, that it was time for me to leave, I was out of there. And I never looked back. I never looked back. And it was a couple of more jobs that I did, but I understood because I love to work. That's my thing. I love to work. And I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. You know, work for a company and help them build their empire. But that's not what I was supposed to do. But I'm very happy that I came out of work. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, the back injury. God said, you're not going to stop working. So I have to sit you down. Because when he speaks to us and he tells us something to do, and we act like we don't hear him and we don't do it, he will sit us down. When he sees that we won't sit ourselves down, he will sit us down. My mom always say, you have a hard head. You don't listen. God be trying to tell you something and you just don't listen. No, it's not that I don't be listening when it comes to work. It's just I love to work. That's my thing. I'm like my dad. My dad is like that. He loves to work, but he has his own business too. So I got my entrepreneur spirit from him. He has his own business. He has 10 kids, and out of all 10, it's 3 of us that have our own business. And I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I couldn't see myself going back into the workforce and working for anybody. I couldn't. And I encourage everybody that's listening out there to work on, if you're not already, your own boss, you don't have your own company, work on it. You can take baby steps. Like I said, if you don't, if you have a job and you want to start your own business, don't quit your job. Just don't do that. Continue to work. Continue to bring in the income. Just save your money. Whatever it is that you're passionate about doing, find a way to make that your business. but just put that money aside. You get up every day, you say your affirmations, you write out your goals the night before, and you check off every goal that you accomplish. If this year goes by and you don't accomplish that goal, then just change the year. This is 2019. If you don't complete it by December 31st, start over. January 1st, put 2020. This is the goal that I set for myself this year. And you work toward that goal. If you stay consistent and you stay focused, you will accomplish it. You got to work, though. It's not going to be easy. I mean, it's definitely not a bed of roses trying to build that empire. It's rough. You're going to have some naysayers. You're going to have some people talking about you. Oh, you don't have no real job. Just stay strong. Keep your head up. Keep the faith. Trust God and keep him and put him first. And I guarantee you, he will take you where it is that you're trying to go. He said, just ask. Ask. If you don't ask him, then he's not going to do it until you ask him. And I trust God. And I ask him when I get in a position where I feel like I can't make. I'm like, Lord, give me the strength. This is what I want to do, God. You said I could do it. I trust you and I have faith and I believe. But then we got to sit. Sometimes we got to sit still and listen and wait to hear him. Because he might have something else in mind. Or he may have another avenue or another resource for you to help you to get to where it is you're trying to go. Like I've had, thank you, Jesus, you know, in the past 3 months, I have been blessed to become a partner with a celebrity basketball, female basketball player. I've gotten a phone call from a lady that has a boutique that wants me to partner with her. And it's just, God is just opening up doors because I've been faithful. And that's what we have to do. We have to be faithful and trust and believe God that he is going to do what it is he said he was going to do. You want that business? Trust him. He's going to do it for you. He is not going to fail you. I guarantee. And teach your kids now. They're young. Do like I did. My dad did it for me, you know, and I did it. Like I said, I did it. I didn't do it for my kids, but I did it for my grandkids because I was doing so many different things with my kids. I my mind wasn't on building a business, you know, but when the grandkids came along, I showed them how to do it. And that's what I would suggest that you do. Teach your kids and your grandkids how to start their own businesses. You have little girls that are like starting to do hair at 7 years old. We have some kids here in Buffalo that have started their own business. First, they wrote a book, and now they're blossoming. You gotta feed the children, and it's not always food. When you say feed. Feed them the wisdom, the knowledge, and let them understand. Teach them. Teach them how to start their own business, even if they have to start with like a lemonade stand or selling cookies. You know, teach them how to bake. Just get them into the mindset of being a business owner. Because as kids watch us struggle and they can't get the things that they wish they could, things that they want so bad. You know, we have to let them, we got to sit down and teach them or talk to them and make them understand what's going on and let them know, if you do this, just listen to me. If you do it this way, you won't have to go through this with your children later on down the road. Because I always, always believe if you teach the children and talk to them a lot of parents don't want to sit down and talk to the kids. And that's why kids are so into their cell phones. They're into social media because the parents are not sitting down talking to them. My daughter, I think I get on her nerves because she's, Mom, please, will you leave me alone? You know, because I'm always trying to teach her, and I'm always, and she's 24, about to be 25, you know, and she's about to have another baby, but I'm still teaching her. And that's what we got to do. Spend a little bit of time with your kid to show them the ropes, as the old folks used to say. Show them the ropes, you know. You take the kids outside, you play basketball with them. You know, we go out there with them and we show them how to ride their bike. How about show them how to build an empire? It's never, ever too early to start teaching your child how to build an empire, how to have their own business. Trust me, guys, this is something that is so very important now because, again, like I said, you never know when the government is going to shut down. You never know when a company is going to move out of state, move to another country. And what happens? A lot of times, they get the word last minute. Next thing you know, they're coming. Everybody pack up your stuff. We're closed. What you going to do? First of all, you're going to be shocked and in panic mode. So you're not going to know, you know, what to do. You're not going to have time to ask questions or anything. So I encourage you, and I pray that this has resonated in someone's spirit. I encourage you to start building your empire. Start building your business. Start teaching your children how to build their business, how to start their life. It's never too early. It's never too late. If you never did it before, I encourage you to start now. Start right now. Before the government shuts down again and everybody is left, as they say, caught with your pants down. Yeah. Yeah. We caught with our pants down. Not literally, but now we're stuck. You don't have that money saved from your job because you're working paycheck to paycheck. That's a bad way to live. And I've been there. I spent years and years doing it, but I have now, since 2014, I have not worked on anybody's job. Praise God. I have been focusing on my career, building my business, and I thank God for giving me the entrepreneur and the business mindset that started when I was a young child. I encourage everyone out there, all my family out there in the nations and the international, I encourage you to start today and teach your children how to build their own legacy so that when God calls them home, their children have something to fall back on. Your children have something to fall back on. Because we don't want to be left and stuck in a rut that we were, what, a few months ago when the government shut down and everybody's lives was shifted and thrown in a position that they were not ready for. I don't want that to happen to anybody. I don't want it to happen to no one. Really, I don't. So I encourage you again, and I pray that this has blessed you and you let it resonate in your spirit. And just pray and ask God what it is that you want, what it is he wants you to do. You know, what kind of business is it that he wants you to start? It could be a daycare. You could start, you know, doing hair for women, a men barbershop. It's multiple things out there. Start in network marketing. Whatever you do, I just encourage you to start. It's never too late. Start now so you are not put in a position to where you don't know how you're going to feed your family. I love you guys. I will talk to you in another 2 weeks. I pray that everyone is blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day or your night or whatever it is out there in the nations. I love you guys. I thank God for you. I thank God for blessing me to be able to be before you this morning. May you continue to keep a smile on your face. Tell someone you love them today if you haven't already. Give someone a hug today. Encourage someone. Give someone some encouraging words. Tell them it's going to be all right. Continue to trust God. Have faith in God. Believe in God. And I will talk to you soon. God bless you. And have a good day.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Happy Tuesday morning. Thank you for joining and listening to With Your Success in Mind. This is your host, Cheryl Cormier, coming to you from Houston, Texas. And I want to welcome you to today's program, which is made possible by two truly remarkable ladies. Our show producer, Kayla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. And Josie Hopkins, CEO and founder of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network, USA World. It's a blessing to be a part of their vision to reach, teach, and empower God's people. You're in for a tremendous treat today because joining me is the phenomenal poet, spoken word artist, and author, Minister Ty Gray L. Good morning, Ty, and welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. It's great to be back with your success in mind. I need to keep my success in mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Every time I talk to you and I listen to your story, I am more enthralled. I'm blessed, and I just always want to know more. So, everyone, if you remember, Ty was a guest on with us a few weeks ago, and we heard your feedback and request to hear more of his great works of poetry. And we're going to learn about his newest project release, Televised Devolution. But first, let me get started. Let me do this great man justice by sharing just a bit of his bio. Minister Ty Gray L. is an internationally renowned storyteller, author, and recording artist dedicated to restoring the heritage and legacy of Africans in America. He is the first designated poet laureate in the 200-year history of the AME Church and poet in residence at T for Two Production. Ty earned a bachelor's degree in streetology on the asphalt of the District of Columbia, a master's degree in survival in the ghettos of North America, and a PhD in psychology from the University of Adversity and Hard Knocks. While some may laugh at Ty's academic achievements, having once been labeled ineducable, he is as proud of his accomplishments as anyone holding degrees from Howard Harvard, or even Yale. He is an author, activist, lecturer, husband, and proud father of four. Rising from the depths of heroin addiction, incarceration, and despair, then being labeled ineducable, to becoming the author of several books, short stories, screenplays, and now to be called by some the vessel through which our ancestors speak, Ty Gray L., as an ordained minister of the gospel, lecturer, and poet, storytelling griot, has appeared on the Michael Bazin Show, the Steve Harvey Morning Show, BET, the Pacifica Radio Network, and Sirius XM, as well as featured in the Washington Post. He is a two-time spoken word Billboard Award winner, and his soon-to-be-released spoken word album, Televised Devolution, has Grammy written all over it. He confronts the issues of racism and bigotry with poetic compassion, dramatic storytelling, and historical fact while weaving a tapestry of tolerance and hope. Ty's presentations are like a slice of lecture, a slice of poetry, and a slice of theater that all come together like grandma's sweet potato pie. I am so grateful for this opportunity to introduce Ty Gray L. again.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. My cheeks are aching from smiling so hard.
Well, you should be very, very proud of all that you've done. Many of us paused this past weekend to celebrate the fabulous fathers all around the world. And I wanted Ty to be able to share one of his special pieces in honor of fathers, the realest real men on the planet. So sit back and relax. Here's Ty with Fatherless by Design. But first, before you recite it, Ty, tell us what inspired you to write this particular piece.
Yes, well, I did write it in honor of Father's Day. But what prompted me to write it, Cheryl, was Al Sharpton was on Bill O'Reilly's show. And Bill O'Reilly, I don't know if your audience knows, but he's not really one of my favorite people. Anyway, he's interviewing Al Sharpton. He says to Reverend Al, it seems the biggest problem facing your people is that 7 out of 10 households don't have fathers in them. And when he said it with such disdain and disrespect, and the racial overtone was just, it prompted me to start thinking about why is that a fact? Why is it that 7 out of 10 households don't have fathers in them? We're not genetically predisposed to not want to be fathers, so there must be some reason. And so the reasons are delineated in this poem called Fatherless by Design. It was by no means accident. The whole slavery Jim Crow incident was designed to keep black families apart. Because as long as we're divided, someone else will always decide it, and we're left behind before we even start. Now, let's look at the implications and results in situations of having no father around. With no model or instruction, you're left to your own destruction. With no guidance, you rarely get off the ground. Now, being fatherless by design, black boys are left behind. We are role model and mentor depleted. And with no pattern for our minds and no way to interpret signs, we start the game mentally defeated. With no father to teach you truth and no blueprint advising youth, the result is exactly what's expected, and that's hurting people, with generation after generation neglected. Now, having very few examples and seldom seeing samples, it's a miracle we still exist at all, yet a testament to our resolve that we will this problem solve, and proof we rise each time we fall. Yes, we have been fatherless by design, but now has come the time for black men to wake up across this nation. It's time to take the reins of our future once again and design ourselves a better situation. So man up, my brother, man up and be a good father.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. And I know that even based on your own personal upbringing, we talked the last time you were on the show about, you know, having been born with scarlet fever and being raised by a single mom and sometimes by your grandmother in one of the most notoriously dangerous U.S. cities. How was being fatherless, not knowing your father, how did that impact your childhood and shaped you as you grew up?
Well, several things in there. One is I did know my father. My father just left when I was three, so he wasn't there to raise me and guide me and do those things that I just alluded to in the poem, because he wasn't there to put, you know, to give me the instructions, to tell me which way to go and what to do, what not to do, you know, who to look up to. And so my role models became those people that I saw on the streets, the people who drove the Cadillacs, the hustlers, the pimps, the drug dealers. And that one of the most notorious neighborhoods in the country happened to be the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. At one time, Washington, D.C., well, three or four times, Washington, D.C. was actually the murder capital of the world. Don't hold me to this particular statistic because I'm not quite sure what year, but like 1988 or 89 or one of those years, D.C. had 530-plus murders in 365 days. I remember literally going to a funeral home to see one brother who was murdered, and I went in the wrong parlor and saw another brother from my neighborhood who had been murdered, went into the next parlor, and that was not the person that I went to see, but another brother murdered from my neighborhood. So there were three different people in the same funeral home at the same night murdered from my neighborhood. They used to call it Vietnam. So I really was impacted by that, you know, by all of those circumstances. And for me to be talking to you on this phone now, I mean, on this show now, is no less than a miracle. As a matter of fact, a lot of people who see me, they can't believe, because they said that at 12, they thought, you know, I wouldn't make it to 15. At 15, I doubt if he makes it to 18. At 18, I doubt if he makes it to 21. At 21, I doubt if he makes it to 25. And so here I am at 67, alive and well. So all I can say to that, Cheryl, is that God is good. You know, I just was able to overcome those things through getting my education.
Wow. You know, you've lived such a full life, and having gone through those experiences, you mentioned, you know, turning to the streets and to the hustlers for, you know, looking up to them as role models. When did it switch for you? Was it when you were introduced to poetry that some of your perspectives started to really be informed and to carry you forward in terms of what you were going to grow into and the man?
You know, that's a great question, because my life has been so dichotomous. You know, growing up in Langston Terrace, which is the first all-black public assisted housing project in the United States, it actually was the pilot program for public assisted housing. I literally lived, my first 12 years, I lived on one street in Langston Terrace. And my next 13 years, from 12 till I was 25, I lived over top of the Langston Library. And I thought that all those years that it was named for Langston Hughes. And so Langston Hughes became my favorite poet. My mother used to force me to read, even though I wasn't going to school. And so that dichotomy of, you know, the streets, but my mother and this education sort of fused themselves, if you would. And I'm grateful that the education and my mother's side won out over those things, although it was a battle, because, you know, I'm not ashamed to tell people, you know, I ended up using it at 12 years, at 13 years old, I was actually introduced to heroin. At 25 years old, I found myself in federal correctional institutions. And so for 15 years, I used heroin. And so it was a real struggle. But during all of those times, I still had this passion for words and I was always able to put words together. I don't know what they call it where you came from. We used to call it joning. I used to get paid to joan on people, ragging on people, you know, that kind of thing. So I've always had this love for the spoken word and for written words, because, you know, I've read extensively, even though I, for all intents and purposes, quit formal school at 14 years old. I think I mentioned the last interview that Roberta Flack, the singer Roberta Flack, was my last homeroom teacher in Brown Junior High in Washington, D.C. And I think I was 14 years old. And it's interesting because when we talk about fatherless by design, if my dad had been there, I'm sure I would have continued in school. But I literally never went back to school from the time I was 14 years old. And you wonder where the truant officers were. And you wonder, you know, how that is even possible. But my mother worked two jobs in the hood, you know, trying to make ends meet. And she just couldn't make me go to school. I had no interest in it. And so to your question, the love of spoken word and the passion for poetry was developed, you know, by Langston Hughes and people like Maya Angelou and Claude McKay, Paul Robeson, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, people like that, Amiri Baraka. And my love for my own people was developed by people like Dr. John Henry Clark, and Noble Drew Ali, and Jesus the Christ himself. And so
right.
It's a lot. I mean, you know, I have lived a really, really full life when you think back on it. I seldom get a chance to reflect like this, but it's interesting, Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you for this introspection, because it's been quite a ride.
Well, I mean, and it just really shows that it doesn't matter where you come from or where what circumstances were. It really is about making up your mind, being committed and doing something different and taking advantage of opportunities, and which you have certainly done. And I know, as the father of four, one question that I'm curious about is, how did you make that transition, and how did your experiences influence the type of father you were determined to be to your own children?
Well, you know, Father's Day being Sunday past, my dad actually passed away at 87 years old last April 2018. And he and I actually got very close after I got grown, after I turned like 35, 40 years old, we became close, and I was there. I was actually at his deathbed. And I resolved, though, while I was angry with him before we got close, I resolved that I would not ever do what he did, because I realized that the only reason I ever used heroin is because my father wasn't there. If my father was there, I had such a healthy, respectful fear for this guy that I would never have done anything like that had he been there. Having that knowledge, I resolved within myself, if I have any children ever, then I will take care of them. And that's what I did. I have four biological children. I have one daughter and three sons, but I raised eight children in blended families, and raised them to the place where, you know, they've gone on to college and the Air Force, and they're all doing quite well. And so it was a resolution as a result of the pain that I went through. Because when you're incarcerated, you look back and like, man, how did I get here? I don't think I would have been here if I was a father. I will not allow that to happen to my own children. So that's
right.
Where that came from, sure.
Right,
that's
right.
Where it came from.
You know, in just thinking about it and reflecting, I love that phrase that you use, a respectful fear. You know, I'm 60 years old, and there are certain things I still won't do or say to this day out of respectful fear of my mother.
yes, ma'am. I understand that. Yes, my father, who he left when I was three, but you know, he showed up periodically, and he was everybody loved him in on my mother's side of the family. So, you know, he was there, but he wasn't there to do the raising. But
right,
I mean, this guy is 6'2", 250 pounds. He wasn't, you know. So anytime if he said something, you know, I moved. And the same thing with my mother, who was the complete opposite. She was 5 foot tall and 100 pounds. I don't know how that came about, but anything she said, and my grandmother, right today, if well, rest their souls, they're not here now. But you know, I still have a healthy respect and fear for anybody that's older than me as a result
right.
of what they put in me. And I think that's one of the things that's missing, you know, in today's society, in our modern society with our millennials, is that too many of them are raising themselves. You know,
right.
you know, babies raising babies. And but that's another show. That's a complete another story.
You know. I know. I just love how our conversations, they can go off on different tangents, everybody. And it's because we just enjoy being able to listen and learn from each other. I just truly enjoy all of our conversations. But I want to make sure that we get to a couple of things. And one is that you've taken your work of art, Breath of My Ancestors, which I know that you produced that a long time ago, but you're now turning that into a podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, as a result of requests from people. Okay, so the Breath of My Ancestors book, you can get it in the ebook or you can get the hard copy if you go to tigrael.com. Shameless plug. But I wrote the book about 10 years ago, and it's a book of poems, essay observations, short stories, and slave narratives. And I have performed out of the book in several places. And people have always asked me, man, you need to do your own radio show. Man, you need to do this. And so this podcast thing, which, you know, I just learned about podcasts a couple of years ago, when they started to become popular, people said, Ty, you need to do a podcast. You need to do that Breath of My Ancestors podcast. So finally, as a result of all of these requests, I'm releasing, it actually was supposed to be released by now, Cheryl, but, you know, I'm not the producer of the podcast. I'm just the content creator. And the technical stuff that goes into putting those things together is just not my lane. It's not my lane. I wish it was, but it's not. I can't do the technical side of it. And so it's delayed, and it should be. Within the next 30 days, we will be releasing the podcast. So it's Breath of My Ancestors, spoken word like you've never heard, the podcast that broadcasts voices from the past. Standing on the shoulders of our ancestors, brave, no longer Negroes, no longer slaves. Breath of My Ancestors.
Excellent, excellent. Everybody, just to make sure everybody knows, you can get more information about the upcoming release, the launch, I should say, of the podcast, and to actually get those dates and get more information on tygrael.com, as well as
yes.
upcoming information on upcoming speaking events. I know you're speaking at a Juneteenth event coming up next week and some other things
yes.
that are on your calendar. Anything else you want to mention before we talk a little bit about televised evolution?
Well, no, except that I speak all over, and anybody interested in booking me can go to tygrael.com, tygrael.com for bookings, because I love doing spoken word.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I'll mention that again. We want everybody to go to tygrael.com. So let's get to televised evolution, because I want to make sure we get this in here. This is so exciting, and I'm excited for you knowing that you're getting ready to release this major project, the spoken word CD with musical accompaniment. It's 10 tracks, and it's also going to include a book of poetry. So how excited are you these days?
Well, I'm very excited. I'm very excited. As a matter of fact, my excitement is being tempered because this project has been in the works for about a year. But you know, when you're doing something of this magnitude, a lot of people don't know how much goes into the production of it. I mean, I've actually been to three different states recording, the writing. I mean, this project has a full gospel accompaniment, orchestral, I think that's how you say that, has a full orchestra behind some of the pieces. And so it has been quite the production. And I had no idea how much goes into a production like this. But yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. Yes, ma'am.
Good, good. And I know you've had to work to keep your energy up and everything as it's gone through that process. But I am so glad the day is coming that the world is really going to get a chance to experience this great body of work that you've put together. So why don't I just turn it over to you now? And I know you want to recite for us the title track, which is Televised Devolution. So here you go, everybody, Ty Doriel with Televised Devolution.
Yes, well, the piece was written as a result of Gil Scott Heron. Those of you who are not old enough would not remember, but those of you who are might remember, Gil Scott Heron was a powerful poet and spoken word artist, and he put most of his pieces to music. And one of them was entitled, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. And so, in thinking about The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, it dawned on me that while the revolution might not be televised, devolution is streaming right before our eyes. We are devolving on some aspects right before our eyes. So this piece is entitled Televised Devolution. It said the revolution will not be televised, but devolution streams right before our eyes. There are warmongers, usurers, blue-blooded kings, barbarians promoting violence. There's ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Westworld robots on a home office box, airing dark forces with civil unrest and scandals encouraged because father knows best. With instructions on murder and how to get away, Lifetime aired 8 homicides today. There's CNN pundits telling true lies while Netflix streams presidential alibis. There's FX, Stars, and AMC2, and Dexter's on Showtime with a blood-splattered clue. OWN extols the haves and have-nots, while Hallmark presents kidnapping plots. There's TMZ, BET, MTV, all broadcasting imminent social downfall. There's Walter White, Breaking Bad, and The Walking Dead, and Powers got drug-addicted ghosts. Widespread. There are 13 reasons why you better call Saul in True Blood and Stranger Things lurking round the mall. There's Oscars and Emmys and Golden Globes and Grammys and Tonys and sequin gown robes. There's Veep, Modern Family, This Is Us, and Apprentice had trumped up tweets we don't trust. Greenleaf's got pastors womanizing and Big Brother's watching, while Queen Sugar's rising. There are crooks on the blacklist with white gangsters named Red and remote control networks programming our heads like Lucifer, Gotham, and Cookie's Empire. There are lethal weapons and Chicago fires. There are games of Jeopardy, contestants with criminal minds. There are family feuds amidst Shark Tank designs. There are South Park, The Simpsons, and Futurama, all cartoon predictions of toxic karma. Yeah, winter is coming. It's all a Game of Thrones. You can catch the finale on the newest iPhone. It said the revolution will not be televised while devolution streams right before our eyes.
Oh, my word. Look, I have to be first in line to get the complete CD. There's so much that you said in there. I'd have to read it several times, I'm sure, to unpack it and just really just be able to marinate on all of that. That was absolutely phenomenal, Ty. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Yeah, well, it's like the Bible talks about the principalities, and that's what we're up against. And those, I watch the TV shows and I watch what's streaming into our minds. And I just wrote that because we really have to be careful. We have to be careful.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We got to be careful of what we feed our minds, just like we have to be careful of what we feed our bodies, because it's all going to be manifested in one way or another.
And that's, I think that's the perfect segue to "With Your Success in Mind."
Yes, my brother. Yes, it is. Well, everybody, we've reached the end of our show for today. I pray you were inspired and uplifted by our program. I hope it confirms for you that there is hope, and sometimes your greatest blessings are born from the depths of despair. I recently read a meme conversation between two men looking out at the ocean, and one man said, "Enjoy, you only live once." The other man said, "No, you only die once. You live every day." So my thought for you today is to live every day and to make the best choices that you can to have the greatest impact on not only your own life, but on the lives of those around you. So thank you again, my friend, Gray Tyell, for sharing and blessing us with your story and profound work today. Be blessed and know that we're anxiously awaiting the full CD and your podcast and anything else you have to offer. And again, I want to encourage everybody to go to Ty's website, tygrayl.com, for more information. With that, we're signing off as you listen to the musical stylings of saxophonist Tom Braxton. The song is "Tuesday Mornings" from his album "Next Chapter." You can learn more about his complete body of work on tombraxton.com or follow him on Facebook at Tom Braxton Music. Mark your calendar for our upcoming shows. We will not have a show, however, on July 2nd, but we will return on July 16th with a brand new show for you to enjoy. Be sure to tune in every other Tuesday to receive encouragement, inspiration, nuggets of experience, and tools to help you navigate through your success journey. You can get information about upcoming guests, join the conversation, and learn more about our program on CherylACormier.com. This has been your host, Cheryl Cormier, where everything shared and everything offered is done explicitly with your success in mind.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.